Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God which confronts us this day is the fifth verse of the 12th chapter of the book of the prophet Jeremiah. If you had raced with men on foot and they had wearied you, how will you compete with horses? That is the text. In the most recent edition of Focal Point, Hadden Robinson of the Denver Seminary makes the following point about the current status of the office of the ministry in American Christianity. The minister can find a soulmate in Rodney Dangerfield who claims, "I don't get no respect." Once the pastor stood out as one of the highly educated shapers of the community, now the secular society shrugs him off as a bland leader of the blind. Within the church, the preacher often resembles Willie Lohman, the pathetic peddler in Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman. Willie's son, Biff, summed up his father's unfocused life in six sad words: "He never knew who he was." The modern preacher has a job description that sounds like Superman. He is expected to make house calls like an old country doctor, shake hands like a campaigning politician, prepare lessons like a professor, and see as many people as a psychologist. He has to be as skilled an executive as the president of a business, and as shrewd a financier as a banker, and in the middle of it all, be so good a diplomat that he could umpire a baseball game between the NAACP and the Ku Klux Klan. As a result, those entering the ministry are confused about who they are, what they are supposed to accomplish, or how they are to live up to impossible expectations. When the shepherd is confused with a sheepdog, or worse, a cut lamb, and the fisherman ends up as a keeper of an aquarium, and the servant of God ends up in servitude to a score of masters, the pastor is in trouble. Because of low respect and high demands, ministers reverse Paul's exhortation, "Fit you like men," to read, "Men like you, fit." So, here again the text. If you have raced with men on foot, and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? Or to put it another way, perhaps pulling in the full strength of the para of zealous rivalry, you ain't seen nothing yet. Be clear about one thing. These words are written to a man whom God had claimed to be his own. Listen to his prayer. "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. The Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth, but wherever whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And be clear about this thing too. These words are addressed to you and to me, as to men who have been called by God to be his own. Men conceived and born in sin and rotten to the core because of what they have inherited from Adam. Men who know less than Herod the Great, or the Herod of whom we heard yesterday in his splendid words, deserve nothing but ruin. But God has claimed us again to be his own in the waters of holy baptism, and he has robed us in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, his Son. He has buried us in baptism into his death and raised us to newness of life in him. He has planted into our hearts the desire to serve, if he also plants the church to call us into service. We are men who have set aside every goal of success and promise of future gifts in order to be caught up in the divine monomania that says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. I am determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We hate not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. That is frequently how we resolve until I don't get my own way. And until God doesn't seem to be listening to what I have to say about how His church should be. Until my plans and God's plans seem to be going in different directions. Until God's expectations and requirements for the office and what I think should be there don't seem to match. Until we are overtaken by the Doug and Wendy Reiner syndrome. You remember them from Saturday Night Live? They almost raised complaining to an outpouring with their nasal glands wiping them. Or maybe we don't have nasal glands, and maybe Jeremiah didn't either, but it's there nonetheless. And perhaps worse than poor Doug and Wendy, who wound their way through life, is that we cloak all of this in what we claim to be philosophical and theological profundity, and of course give it a pious purpose. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I complain to thee, yet I would plead my cause before thee. Pass preface out of the way, let's get to the zone. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous lie? Sounds very much like the lectio continua of Job we've been getting these days. The same question. Why they, Lord, why not me? Well, we know the answer. Have less to say it, Lord. But, your fault. Thou plantest them, and they take root. They grow and bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and fast in their heart. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou seest me, and flyest my mind before thee. Says your Lord is my solution. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the grass of every field wither for the wickedness of those who dwell in it? The beasts and the birds are swept away because men said, He will not see our latter end. And what does Yahweh say to that lament? To that outcry. If you have raced with men on foot, and they have wearied you, how will you compete with pleasure? What a word for our ministry. You see, instead of being caught up with all this stuff about prosperity and thriving, about balanced checkbooks and PSAs and IRAs and BMWs and TVs and all the rest. If those are the things that are worrying you, friend, good grief, what are you going to do when the battle starts? What will you do when you must compete with pressure? God bless you. Try evil one, devil, Satan, father of lies, the one who speaks a lie, who speaks from his own nature. Try, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of the heavenly. Try pride and arrogance and self-glory and self-magnification. Try the horses that are very much at home in clerical collars and medieval backyards. Try the horses, what horses? Try the horses that tell you your message is only a stunt. That yes, we'll be happy to bring you in together as a kind of healing team, and we'll let you make your little contribution, however out of date it might be, to to the process of restoring people to wholeness. What else is Christ's relevance? Mark responds to his unbridled sarcasm, always fall back. Blessed word. He's got to be relevant. He wants to hear about Christ and cross and grace, resurrection and forgiveness and body and blood and all that stuff. How to get with it? Here's the agenda for today's church, and a church that refuses to follow it will not survive. And to all of that, our Lord says, if you race with men on foot and they have ruled you, what will you do when you must compete with horses? Are you ready to compete with horses? When you walk off this campus with your car and unbeard and theological diploma in your steady hand? Are you ready? Not by yourselves, or not. Not by might, not by power. Not by GREs or GPAs or faculty endorsements and certifications, although those things are not in themselves to be defined. But that's not going to make you ready to compete with horses. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Only the Spirit of God who brings to life and life the power of Jesus Christ. Only the Spirit of God who brings us through word and sacrament the good news of sins forgiven and the power to change men's lives for now and forever. Only the Spirit of God who brings us to the one who lay aside all glory that we might be glorified together with him. Only that way will you be ready to compete with horses. Can you? Oh, yes, indeed you can. To all the people on whom God lays his claim, there is a promise. Hear the one given to Jeremiah. Fill up your loins, arise, and say to them everything that I have commanded you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I be dismayed before them. And behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its princes, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Now you know who you are. Stop worrying about the foot runners. It's time to get ready for horses. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Mm-hmm.